10 years ago, the co-working and communal team building concept was non-existent. Today, they are the most attractive development in business, particularly for freelancers and startup teams. From the provision of a dynamic environment to providing resources specifically to fit any industry or group for potential users, it's no wonder that the co-working space and its flexibilities are growing rapidly. Reporter Hans Lee has more.
Tim Marlberg, a PhD researcher from the University of Sydney Business School, spoke with me about how such spaces are not just flexible, but also are providing a stepping stone for how business will work and develop in the future.
I mean, co-working spaces came about because there was a whole bunch of people who were doing what they love, running their own businesses or their own practices, and they were often working out of garages or out of their home office. And the problem was that they were quite isolated. So, you know, initially a group of people who are from creative industries came together and said, well, why don't we just work together? So they kind of, you know, found a space, they filled it with things that they liked, and then off they went. And that was one of the first co-working spaces. And now they're sort of popping up all over the world, where people who can, you know, can bring their ideas, their own businesses, or they can find people who are like-minded who want to work alongside each other. This idea of working alone together, if you like, in this sense of community and giving a sense of belonging and identity that, you know, typically people would find within large organisations. You know, this idea of finding your tribe is one that many people speak about who operate co-working spaces and people who are members of them. So I think that co-working spaces are really great at giving you a place to belong and to be able to bring kind of more of your full authentic self, expressed either through work or through friendships and new possible partnerships. So it's this kind of collision space of different people about, I guess, a bigger, more of an authentic version of themselves. So I think that's why they're quite popular and why they attract such interesting people as well.
Tim Marlberg, PhD researcher and founder of The Village, Australia's largest co-working movement, begins our conversation about the rise of the co-working space. Co-working is already becoming a critical and exciting component of the new workforce. Estimates from DeskMag's Global Co-working Survey finds that there are over 11,000 co-working spaces around the world already. And to these spaces credit nearly 1 million regular members. And as Taylor Tran, author of Innovation Melbourne, explains, it's not just the flexibility that's keeping the members there.
I think the most important thing is the community, and that there is a community manager who can connect these businesses to potential investors, as well as broader network for people to develop and grow their business. That's probably the main difference between a co-working space and a shared office.
But those, some people would say that those co-working spaces, to gain that new community, is quite an expensive option. How would you respond to that kind of criticism?
Well, I wouldn't say so at all. Some spaces that I've come across are extremely cost-effective compared to hiring a shared office. Intuitively, I would say that if you hire a shared office, it's almost twice as much as hiring a flexible space in a co-working space. There's a number of entry points. You can enter as a casual worker or casual membership, and then you increase your days, you know, one day or full-time and so forth. So, you know, it can become quite cost-effective.
And it's not just the space and the new flexibility that's getting young workers excited. As Taylor Tran explains, there's plenty of buzz for these spaces that can even make a potential investor and its members some serious cash.
The main way that people make money is through membership owners. A few owners but as an additional part of their existing business, so they don't necessarily care about making revenue on that front. But it's membership, monthly membership. That's pretty much it.
Okay, but now, people don't pay.
There are aspects of events as well. So, you know, people can make business money through events and other additional services like courses and so forth. But predominantly, you're talking about membership and potentially events. That's pretty much it.
However, it's not all gravy. Co-working spaces relies on the success of collaborative work, and if you're not a fan of community interaction, there's a good chance that the culture of a co-working space might be doing more harm than good for you. Tim Marlberg explains how you can break through the psychological and physical concerns you might have about the co-working space.
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is that there is no kind of one-size-fits-all approach to co-working. So each space has, it brings its own character, its own resources and different kinds of spaces. But each person, I guess it's knowing what they really need. So, you know, we had at the Village at NAB, which is the space that I founded, we had a variety of different kinds of areas. So we had, you know, quiet meeting rooms, we had open ones, we had quiet working spaces, we had sort of open areas, all different kind of things. But for some people, they're not really needing kind of a place to get free Wi-Fi. They're looking for somewhere where they can meet their clients and impress them. Other people are looking for learning and development opportunities. So they're looking for the kinds of events. Others are trying to develop new services and looking for people to throw ideas against. So I think it's really understanding kind of, you know, that each person will have their business will be at a different place, or in their career they're looking for something different too, and that there's a lot of variety in terms of the spaces, and that's some of the research that I've been looking at. You know, some are essentially serviced offices, and some of the traditional players in the market are sort of rebranding into co-working, but others are just kind of open plan offices where you're going to get that, you know, the constant tapping of keyboards and people furiously coding, and you know, that's not, neither of those might suit everybody. So I guess it's about being able to shop around. That's really quite important, knowing that there is variety in the market.
Finally, where does Marlberg see the trend moving over the next few years? Moving out to country areas?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's probably three areas I'll touch on. The first one is definitely that it as a model for economic development. So there's a number of regional and outer suburban co-working spaces that I've been working with and helping them to kind of help to, you know, invigorate new jobs in those areas. The second one is probably around increasingly specialised co-working spaces. So there's a great example down in Melbourne, which is an agricultural technology hub that was founded down there and supported by the Victorian government. So it's quite a specific focus, and that's the idea is that you bring all of the talent across, you know, the region or the country into one place, and that can have a lot of benefits. And then the third one is really around how we rethink about our traditional work environments, and that's looking at typical commercial towers. So you look going into any city and you've got these towers which have many, many different tenants. And I've been working with some organisations around how we bring that idea of working alone together, or to be able to build on that collective wisdom of a building, commercial building, and bringing that and focusing it down the space. So I think that's another trend that we'll see.
Tim Marlberg there, founder of The Village in Melbourne and PhD researcher at the University of Sydney Business School, ending that report by Hans Lee.